This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
I'd like to call to order the Senate Ag and Natural Resource Committee. And with that, I'd like to greet the folks that are joining us on the Internet. I'd like to welcome any of the guests that have taken time to come here and be here in person. I appreciate that. Appreciate the young people in the audience also. At this time, I would ask the page to come up, pages, come up, tell us who you are, where you're from, and where you're headed for.
My name is Avery Wolf. I'm a junior at Loyola High School, and I plan to attend Lake Area for dental assisting.
My name is Rachel Kutcha. I'm a senior at Dual High School. I plan to attend Mitchell this fall for radiologic technology and then continue on to radiation therapy.
Thank you. Thank you for your help. At this time, I'd like to remind folks, be sure you turn your cell phones off to on silent. And with that, we will have the secretary call the roll.
Senators Blair?
Here.
Ewing?
Here.
Crum?
Here.
Otten?
Here.
Soholt?
Here.
Foster?
Here.
Heinert? You're excused. Youngberg?
Here.
Kamak?
Here.
There is a quorum.
We have a quorum. With that, I would entertain a motion for approval of the minutes. Moved by Clum, seconded by Ewing. All those in favor, aye.
Aye.
And I would also like to remind folks, if you're planning on testifying, make sure that you sign in legibly at the podium in the back. And if you have any items that you would like distributed, make sure that you use our very able pages to accomplish that. And any questions that come before the committee will be addressed through the chair. And at this time, we will consider Senate Bill 163.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Jordan Youngberg, District 8 Senator from Madison. Senate Bill 163 came to me from some landowners, East River. It was brought to our attention that down in Iowa, this bill was passed 2 years ago, and we just feel that, you know, with how competitive the farming and agricultural industry is, that this is something that's going to come up our way. So what this bill is intended to do is to eliminate foreign-owned ag land in the state of South Dakota. I think that's something that should be reserved for the citizens of the United States. And so that's why I brought the bill. Got with many groups in the last couple weeks on this, and we think that this is something that all of us want to approach with a more unified manner. And so I would be asking the committee, one of them was, I believe they're here to testify. We want to work this together and bring it back next year. So with that being said, I'll stand by for questions.
Any further proponents?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Brenda Foreman. I am registered lobbyist for South Dakota Ag Unity, and I'm not sure for proponent or opponent, but Senator Youngberg did come to Ag Unity a couple of weeks ago and talked about the bill, and during that meeting and after, we visited with the group, and we would like to, through Ag Unity, work on a summer study to look at what our current laws are regarding foreign ownership, as well as what his bill proposed. So with that, we'll kind of take his lead on what he wants to do with his bill, but we are committed to working with him on the issue. Thank you.
And in this case, I'm going to ask, does anyone else want to comment on the bill? Today we're going to have three categories, proponents, opponents, and commenters.
It's true. He checked both sides. Good morning, Chairman and committee members. Don Hager, I'm here representing Americans for Prosperity, South Dakota, and rising to voice my opposition to the bill. You know, I believe every conversation is a vision conversation, and in this respect, my organization is about promoting liberty and opportunity, and so when you propose a restriction like this, what you're doing is you're telling individuals that own land that they don't get to pick who they, that you're restricting who they can sell their land to. So it's a restriction of property rights, and in that philosophical vein, I'll let this one go for now. But thank you for your time, and I'll stand by.
Since I've adequately muddled things, are there any more proponents? If there's no further proponents, any further opponents who would like to comment? If not, Senator Youngberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I don't think it's a secret in where this is going. But one of the comments that I just would like to make on this is, in South Dakota, we are looking at some very hard times in farming, and I think everybody remembers the late 80s or early 90s, and we're there again, and we're going to be back. It's not going to get better anytime soon. I mean, we're looking at 2 to 3 more years of this. In my opinion, I wish I had some economists or something up here that could help me with that. But I just think that when we're talking about this land, we have farmers that are going to be giving up land soon. And I just don't want to see that land going out of our country. And it's going to be hard enough for them losing, you know, land that's been passed down generation after generation after generation. And so I think this helps alleviate some of that. And I'm all for liberties. I want opportunity. I want opportunity for Americans. And I guess if you want to come here and get your citizenship and own our land, I'm all behind you. And I would love to do anything to help that. So that, with that being said, Mr. Chair, I will, I'll stand by for questions or action, whatever's next. So thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Auden.
You entertain that? Okay. I, at this time, would table SB 163.
Second. It's been moved by Senator Auden, seconded by Senator Ewing, to table Senate Bill 163. That's a non-debatable motion, and the Secretary will call the roll.
Senators Blair?
Aye.
Ewing?
Aye.
Kalm?
Aye.
Auden?
Aye.
Soholt? Foster? Heinert is excused. Youngberg?
Aye.
Kamak?
Aye.
The vote's unanimous.
The vote is unanimous, and one Senate Bill 163 is tabled. At this time, we will consider House Bill 1025. It's to revise certain provisions regarding plugging and performance bonds for oil and gas wells.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Mike Lees. I'm the administrator of DENR's Minerals and Mining Program. I'm here to encourage you to support House Bill 1025 because it gives the South Dakota Board of Minerals and Environment and the DENR the tools we need to help prevent future orphaned oil and gas wells in South Dakota. An oil or natural gas well is considered orphaned when the operator is not financially able to plug and reclaim the well site, and when the bond held by the state is insufficient to cover the costs associated with plugging and surface reclamation. Orphaned oil and gas wells are a common problem in other states. For example, in Wyoming, they're currently dealing with around 5,000 orphaned natural gas wells. But historically, South Dakota has never had a problem with orphaned oil and gas wells. Unfortunately, that changed last year in 2019. Spyglass Cedar Creek LP, a company out of San Antonio, Texas, orphaned 40 shallow natural gas wells in southern Harding County. The estimated plugging and surface reclamation cost for those 40 wells is $887,700, whereas the bond held by the state is only $30,000 to cover that. In 2012, a South Dakota Legislative Summer Study Committee studied oil and gas issues. One of the bills developed by the committee involved increasing oil and gas bond requirement for all oil and gas wells. During the 2013 session, an amendment was introduced. The amendment was sort of intended to make sure the state wasn't over-regulating, but the amendment did away with the bond increase for shallow wells. And that, by shallow wells, I mean anything less than 5,500 feet in depth. The amended bill passed, leaving the oil and gas surety requirement for shallow wells, such as the Spyglass gas wells, at $30,000 for statewide drilling. Small, underfunded operators typically drill shallow wells, so they post less surety under the existing tiered bond requirement. These same small, underfunded operators, like Spyglass, pose the greatest threat in terms of orphaning oil and gas wells in South Dakota. To address the issue, DENR brings before you House Bill 1025. Currently, operators are required to post $10,000 per well or $30,000 statewide blanket coverage for an unlimited number of shallow wells. Wells under, again, that's wells under 5,500 feet in depth. This bill will eliminate the tiered bonding by depth, leveling the playing field so all operators post either $50,000 per well or a $100,000 statewide blanket bond. House Bill 1025 also adds an additional bond requirement for idle wells. This is modeled after a Colorado requirement. It gives the state the discretion to require a supplemental $20,000 bond for each idle well. And an idle well would be anything that is inactive for 6 months or more. House Bill 1025 is supported by the South Dakota Board of Minerals and Environment, the board responsible for requiring operators to furnish oil and gas bonds pursuant to SDCL 45-9-15. House Bill 1025 will make South Dakota's shallow well bond requirement equal to what's required in North Dakota, and it will make it higher than what's required in Montana, Wyoming, Colorado, and Nebraska. The proposed changes will make South Dakota's idle well bond requirement higher than any neighboring state. House Bill 1025 provides a careful balance between avoiding more orphaned wells and maintaining South Dakota's business-friendly climate. Increasing oil and gas bond requirements beyond what is proposed in House Bill 1025 would jeopardize future oil and gas exploration and development in South Dakota. For these reasons, I urge you to support House Bill 1025, and we'll stand by.
Thank you for that. Are there any additional proponents?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Ryan Bruner, Commissioner of School and Public Lands. Mr. Lease did a very good job of going through some of the history. We've been involved even going back to the 2012 summer study with oil and gas development in the state and some of the changes that were made then. Tied to bonding and with some of the issues that came up in Harding County, DENR and the Board of Minerals and Mining had looked at this and thought this was a prudent step. We certainly support that, as some of the issues with idle wells have been on both state minerals and state surface, and so this has been an issue we have to deal with working with our lessees and ranchers and folks up in that part of the state, and we think this bill will be helpful for us and would appreciate your yes vote.
Any further proponents?
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Paul Lepisto, representing the South Dakota Division of the Isaac Walton League, and I'll surprise you this morning. Me too.
Thank you for that. Any further proponents?
Mr. Chair, committee, I'm Mark Winnegar, representing the Sierra Club, and I'll say me three.
Doing fine, folks. Any further proponents? Any further proponents? Seeing none, are there any opponents? Any opponents? Seeing none, we will close the public testimony and bring it back to the committee for questions. Any questions? Seeing none, we will close it and bring it back to the committee for discussion and or action.
Mr. Chair, I move to pass.
Second.
It's been moved by Senator Klum, seconded by Senator Youngberg. Do pass on House Bill 1025. Any further discussion? Seeing none, the Secretary will call the roll.
Senators Blair.
Aye.
Ewing.
Aye.
Klum.
Aye.
Otten. Oh. Sold.
Aye.
Foster.
Aye.
Heinert.
Aye.
Youngberg.
Aye.
Kamak.
Aye.
The vote's unanimous.
The vote is unanimous, and it will send it to the floor with a due pass recommendation, and the chair certifies that it can go on the consent calendar. With that, we will move on to House Bill 1026, revise certain provisions related to the use of security for cleanup and remediation of environmental problems.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Mike Lees, South Dakota DENR Minerals and Mining Program Administrator. I'm here to encourage you to support House Bill 1026 because it will help the South Dakota Board of Minerals and Environment and the DENR to use certain forfeited oil and gas surety to address orphaned wells such as the Spyglass orphaned wells in Hardin County. SDCL 34810 provides general authority for the use of environmental securities forfeited under all of our environmental titles, Title 34, 45, and 46. And it gives us authority for site-specific environmental reclamation. The site-specific nature of the spending authority under 34A10 makes sense for nearly all environmental surety requirements, including those for landfills, water rights and groundwater discharge permits, mining operations, and mineral exploration operations, because these bonds only cover costs for reclamation and monitoring of affected lands. However, the site-specific spending authority does not account for spending of certain forfeited oil and gas bonds. SDCL 45915 provides for a plugging and performance bond conditioned on the proper performance of all the operational requirements under Chapter 45-9. For instance, in 2017, the Board of Minerals and Environment ordered forfeiture of a $130,000 plugging and performance bond for a failed oil well near Wasta. The bond was forfeited not because the surety was needed to perform reclamation work or monitoring at the site. Rather, the bond was forfeited because of the operator's gross failure to perform according to the requirements of Chapter 45-9. House Bill 1026 was drafted by DENR at the request of the South Dakota Board of Minerals and Environment. The bill gives the board and DENR flexibility to use certain forfeited oil and gas performance bonds to reclaim orphaned wells such as those abandoned by Spyglass. In fact, pending enactment of this bill, DENR intends to use the $130,000 forfeited bond from the Wasta oil well for plugging and surface restoration of the 40 orphaned Spyglass wells in Hardin County. The $130,000 will supplement the special appropriation for cleanup of orphaned natural gas wells proposed under Senate Bill 17. Apart from proposed changes to 34A10, DENR has authority to hold forfeited oil and gas bonds that are not earmarked for site-specific cleanup, but we have no clear authority to spend those funds. Section 2 of House Bill 1026 requires the South Dakota Board of Minerals and Environment to approve oil and gas bond forfeiture where some or all of the bond is set apart for non-site-specific use. This precludes DENR from any unwarranted borrowing of one operator's plugging and performance bond for use to clean up another site. For these reasons, I urge you to support House Bill 1026. I'll stand by for questions.
Thank you for that. Are there any further proponents?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Ryan Bruner, Commissioner of School and Public Lands, again here to ask for your support for House Bill 1026. As Mr. Lees mentioned, this will be used to address issues with spyglass in conjunction with the appropriations bill that's also in the governor's budget, working on moving through the legislative process. But the reason for our support is a lot of those spyglass wells, in fact, 27 of the 40 orphan spyglass wells are on state-owned minerals or partially owned state-owned minerals. If you think about oil and gas production, they're in a spacing unit, so sometimes we have minerals along with other private individuals, but we received royalty payments when those wells were operational. We did make several attempts over the last couple of years to find other lessees to take those that well field or that gas field over, take those wells over and try and put them back into production. We don't really think that's possible anymore at this point. Plugging them and reclaiming the area is the only prudent way to move forward, and we certainly appreciate DENR and the governor's office putting together a special appropriations bill as well as this legislation to provide funding to help cap those wells. A lot of the wells, and I know you've heard from ranchers and stuff in the northwest part of the state, a lot of those wells, the state owns the minerals, but not necessarily the surface. And so they're state minerals, but we have surface owners or surface lessees in some cases that their ranching operations are impacted. And so capping these wells is the right decision to make, and this bill will help DENR move forward with that process and would appreciate your support.
Thank you for that. Are there any further proponents?
Mr. Chair of Committee, I'm Mark Winiger from the Sierra Club. Thought we'd mix it up, so I'll say me too.
Thank you. Any further proponents?
Mr. Chair, I won't even sit down. Paul Lepisto, Isaac Walton League, me too.
Good job. Any further proponents? Any further proponents? Seeing none, are there any opponents? Are there any opponents? Seeing none, we will bring it back to the committee for questions. Senator Heinert.
Mr. Chair, I have a question for Secretary Bruner. Good morning, sir. Good to see you.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
My question is, and I support this bill, but my question is there anything else that you think we need to do that would help you in the reclamation of what you're dealing with right now?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Heinert, thank you for the question. I think, the second part of it is, the Senate bill Mr. Lees mentioned is still in the appropriations process, but that would be the second half of capping all of the wells. So this will only cover a portion of the appropriation needed to cap those wells and move forward. Other things like the bill, the increased bonding that you just voted to approve are a step in the right direction to make sure we don't have this same issue in the future. One thing I forgot to mention is the state did receive $799,423.96 in royalties, but that money gets paid out to K-12 education. It's protected by the Constitution, and it was dispersed, in 2009, 2010, 11, and 12 during the years the well field was operational. So those funds are protected by the Constitution. They've already been paid out to schools. So the state did receive benefit and royalties, severance taxes, things of that nature from the production. But, when the price of gas dropped, they went bankrupt and started a long, I guess I should rephrase that. They ran into financial issues. I don't remember if they actually ever declared bankruptcy, so I shouldn't make that statement. But they ended up with some liens on property and other lawsuits that is public information. And so they ran into some issues and, the bill that you just passed, 1025, is a good step to make sure as oil markets are cyclical, we don't have that again. But, this legislation is good for helping us get those capped. And I know the ranchers in the northwest part of the state will appreciate it. And it'll make our trips up there a lot easier when working with those folks when they've got, those damages reclaimed. So thank you for the question, though. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Chair?
Senator Foster.
I also have a question for Secretary Bruner. So what economic impacts have the landowners incurred from this? And I guess two-part, like what provisions are in place to help protect them, those, if any?
Mr. Chairman, so Senator Foster, I guess, you know, so some of these wells are on state service. So it's land that we lease out. You know, we lease the surface rights to the rancher, and they pay rent to the state, and we're able to give that money to schools. You know, our rental income from grazing, especially in the northwest part of the state, you know, where you've got short grass prairie, you're talking $6, $7 an acre, sometimes a little higher than that. But, you know, the income from oil is substantially greater than the income from grazing. So there's a positive economic impact to the state as far as, you know, looking at total dollar amount when it comes to oil production. There are certainly always issues you have to deal with. You know, there have been some oil spills up there. You know, DENR works with the private ranchers on oil and gas damages, and there were a lot of laws from 2012 that helped address some of those issues as far as the surface owner, you know, where the state owns the minerals but not the surface, that they can get surface damages, that they can get payments, and the state receives some of those as well for roads or things of that damage the surface. In some cases, we get some annual payments, and so there's a variety of statutes, and I forget the citation, I apologize off the top of my head, but a lot of them were changed back in 2012. There was a summer study, and a lot of updates were done to those to help provide protections for surface owners that came out of that summer study and had a lot of support for the surface owner who doesn't own the minerals. And so, you know, the economic impact of gas is a little less than oil. They don't, you know, an oil pad takes up more acres, but a lot of it is, you know, if you're building a mile or two of road, depending on how big they build the road, you know, that can end up taking up quite a bit of pasture land as well. And then you really could get into the weeds on this economically, and I don't know that we'll do that this morning, but you start talking about, you know, if you can produce five fewer sheep or two fewer calves, right? So you end up with the annual discussion there, which can really vary between each situation. So I don't have a good number specific to Spyglass, but there are a lot of factors, and that was all stuff discussed in the 2012 summer study and things that are always a discussion when it comes to surface damages on both state and private surface land.
Any further questions? Seeing no further questions, we'll move it back to the committee for discussion and or action.
Mr. Chair, I move to pass.
Second.
It's been moved by Senator Klum, seconded by Senator Youngberg, do pass on House Bill 1026. Any comments on that motion? Seeing none, the secretary will call the roll.
Senators Blair?
Aye.
Ewing?
Aye.
Klum?
Aye.
Ottens excused. Sohold?
Aye.
Foster?
Aye.
Heinert?
Aye.
Youngberg?
Aye.
Kamak?
Aye.
The vote is unanimous.
The vote is unanimous. We'll send House Bill 1026 to the floor with a due pass recommendation and the...
I bet there's a little guy from Isabel that probably wants to talk on 1025 and 1026. So I'd request that those not be on the consent calendar.
Okay.
I pulled 1025.
Okay, so
do
1026,
but...
So the as it stands right now, they'll both be on consent calendar. We'll just have to ask them to be pulled. So the chair certifies that there was no opposition, and 1026 will go on the consent calendar. With that, we will move on to House Bill 1080 to revise certain provisions regarding grain buyers.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Chris Nelson, Public Utilities Commissioner. As you know, the Public Utilities Commission manages the state grain buyer and grain warehouse program. This bill is simply a cleanup bill, as cleanup as you will get. Representative Wangsness, did you want to?
I can.
He was going to pitch this, and in his absence, I stepped in, and
it's pretty simple.
Okay. You can cover me when I make mistakes. Two sections. The first section removes a phrase dealing with decals. The decal program was completely removed from statute in 2013. This line was missed at that time, and so we're taking it out to clean that up. The second section repeals an entire section that dealt with a transfer of funds from an old fund to a new fund in 2008. That was a one-time transfer, and so that statute is obviously no longer needed, and this repeals that. Be happy to answer questions when appropriate.
Thank you for that. Is there any further proponent testimony? Is there any further proponent testimony? Seeing none, is there any opponent testimony? Any opponent testimony? Seeing none, the sponsor will waive rebuttal, and we'll bring it back to the committee for questions. Seeing no questions, we will bring it back to the committee for discussion and or action.
Mr. Chair, I move to pass.
Second.
It's been moved to pass by Senator Klum, seconded by Senator Youngberg. Any comments on your motion? Senator Blair.
Yeah, I'm just glad that the students are here to see how quickly and efficiently the state of South Dakota works in their committee meetings and how good the government works up here in the state capitol.
With that comment, are there any further comments? Seeing no further comments, this time the secretary will call the roll.
Senators Blair?
Aye.
Ewing?
Aye.
Klum?
Aye.
Otten's excused. Soholt?
Aye.
Foster?
Aye.
Heinert?
Aye.
Youngberg?
Aye.
Kamak?
Aye.
The vote's unanimous.
The vote is unanimous. Senator House Bill 1080 will move on to the floor with the due pass recommendation, and the chair certifies that it can go on the consent calendar. With that, is there any further business that we need to bring before the committee? Senator Klum moves to adjourn. Senator Youngberg seconds. All those in favor, aye. We're adjourned.